And every year, round about this time, we have the SA Horror Fest at the Labia Theatre. And around about this time also, we have what's called the Zombie Walk. And people walk through the gardens, company gardens, you know, with their faces painted, and they walk around like zombies. But joining me now is the organizer of the SA Horror Fest, Paul Bloom. You must love this time of the year. How are you?
I know. Great. Thanks. Yourself?
Very good, thanks. The Horror Fest has been growing from year to year. Of course, a little bit of a slump over the last few years with COVID-19, but yeah. I'm very, very glad that it's back on.
Yes, no, definitely. Well, the thing that, well, yeah, I guess there aren't many positive things attached to the pandemic, but one of it was forcing people to think out of the box, and the Labia Theatre also created their own streaming service, the Labia Home Screen. And we also had to expand the Horror Fest just from the cinema to online. But the upside of that is that now it's not just for people in and around Cape Town who can come to this theater to watch. Now anyone and everyone in South Africa can access it online.
Yeah, and the Labia has been excellent with that in converting the theater space into the online space. But you put on a whole production for the Horror Fest. It's cast and crew. It's performance. Even hosts coming up in this year again. Rob Van Vieren, an incredibly funny guy. You really put a lot into it. You know, reminding people to have a little bit of fun, particularly around Halloween.
No, definitely. I mean, if you want people to come out for a reason, you need to convince them that it's something more special than just a plain old movie. In the past, we used to have loads of, when DVDs and Blu-rays were still big, we used to have gigantic horror collections that we had as giveaways, which just sort of dwindled away, unfortunately, so that element isn't there anymore. But, you know, we also, with the Macabre Ensemble live soundtrack performance that we did every year, take a silent form, create a new score, and perform it live to the screen. Unfortunately, that didn't happen last year, also not this year because of the seating restrictions. Mm. So it doesn't make it viable to put a thing on like that with live sound and everything. But that will also be, we have a version that we shot of the old movie, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Mm. And that will also be streaming. But yeah, I'm Rob Van Vieren. He's in a remake of the movie Slumber Party Massacre that they shot here in South Africa with full local cast and crew. Yeah. And we'll be closing the festival with that on the 10th of November, and he'll be there, and we've been trying to get a bunch of other cast and crew as well to attend and chat to the audience before and after.
So remind us, what will you be showing? Are these local films? Are these student films? Are you going to throw in some classics, horror movie classics, into the lineup?
When we started the festival in 2005, initially that was to, you know, just to get locals who make interesting, weird, odd movies that don't have a platform anywhere to actually be able to screen it at an event. But it's grown to such an extent that it is now just overrun by international productions and anything from huge ones to small ones and everything in between. So it covers absolutely every single horror subgenre, from monsters and creatures and vampires and zombies to slashers and horror comedies and gory movies. It's even documentaries. We cover absolutely everything. It just picks up every year, and people have taken note across the world, and they've actually Movie Maker magazine, they added us to their list of 50 top genre festivals in the world. So we're slowly but surely crawling in there. But yeah, we get from absolutely all over the planet. We get movies submitted that we have too much. We just can only show a tip of the best ones. There are just too many submissions for us to be able to include. And that includes short films as well. Mm. We have about 10 hours worth of short films spread across 5 volumes. And there's some fantastic movies in there, just stuff that you won't get to see anywhere else.
What's your favorite horror movie? 021-446-0567. And why? 0725671567. We're speaking to Paul Bloom. He's the organizer of the SA Horror Fest. What classifies as a horror movie has also changed over the last few decades. I grew up in a time when it was slasher fix. It was Friday the 13th. It was the movie Halloween. It was Freddy Krueger. And then in the 90s, it was plenty of movies about the occult. And then in the 2000s, horror sort of changed to possessions and ghosts, and a bit more psychological as well. And what we're seeing now is almost a different framing of horror movies. I'm thinking of Get Out. Not too long ago, it was about a week ago when I watched the movie Midsommar. And not something I would consider a classic horror movie, but there were times that I've been filled with some dread. We've changed broadly on what we consider and adapted what we consider to be horror flicks nowadays. Hey, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, life can be a horror in itself. So I guess people are sort of translating those kinds of real fears into movies. And yeah, the director of Midsommar, he also did a movie Hereditary, his first movie before that, which is fantastic. And it's, you know, it's anything that we're emotional beings. You know, we need to sometimes just laugh or, you know, watch a good comedy or bad comedy even, and cry, watch some romantic movie. And, you know, sometimes you need to get a good skrik, and then, you know, horror movies are perfect for that.
Would you consider Manchester United losing 5-0 to Liverpool a horror movie if you were a Manchester United football fan? Paul?
I don't care about football at all.
Look, I would then watch, you know, all the Friday the 13th. I would watch Insidious 1, 2, 3. I would watch everything. I would not want to watch Manchester United, the replay of Manchester United versus Liverpool. But let's go to a quick voice note. 072-567-1567. Let's have a listen.
Hey Lester, how's it going, man? I am an extreme horror fan. I love it. My partner doesn't love it at all. She watches it with finger blinds, you know, and she can't take it. I have to reserve myself and watch on my own. My favorite horror movie of all time, there's so many, but I just love Blair Witch. The first one, it's just so visceral. It feels like it's real. It's obviously not real, but it at the time it was sort of played off as a true story, and there was a lot of controversy around it as well. But it was just a great movie. It's not about any gore, it's more psychological. It allows your mind to wander. It's similar to reading a book in certain ways. You know, it gives you that same gratification. Amazing movie.
Lester, Paranormal Activity scared the S-H-I-T out of me. I watched it in the cinema and I could not sleep for a night or two. It's the music and the anticipation and the psychological stress that does it for me. Thanks so much, Angel, in Cape Town. Thank you, Angel. Blair Witch came out when I was in high school, and great viral marketing. Is viral marketing part of what makes a good horror movie? Because it was marketed as really as this lost footage coming to light. Of course, later you find out it wasn't real, but why would they even put people's murders up on a big screen? Of course, it was a marketing campaign, but just the belief, just the thought that this could happen really to real people who live and breathe like you and I, that this was at the time the scariest thing to hit the silver screen, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, I know. It's the thing about 1999, I think. And that led to other sort of found footage stuff like Paranormal Activity, which is very effective because it's not just cost-effective to make, but it's very audience. I mean, you know, just marketing-wise, I guess if people have tried absolutely everything now. I don't know what the next good marketing viral trick could be to get someone to watch a movie, because nowadays everyone doubts everything they see online, so it'll be difficult to convince someone that this horror movie is actually real. But you know, it's just, you know, for us horror movies, it's just fun entertainment. Some people take it so seriously, thinking you should read more into it than it is, or it's evil. You know, it's like heavy metal music. You know, it's just entertainment.
What's your favorite movies of all time? Just give me your top three.
That's always such a difficult one, but I would say The Shining would be one of my top, if not the top one, one of my top movies, because it's got everything. It's shot well, it's directed well, it's written well, it's And after 40 years, it's still fantastic.
Mm. And what was the there was a complete separate documentary that was made to The Shining. I forget, Room 17 something.
17, yes. No, that was an incredible comment because people, across the years, everyone started getting so many different theories on the movie and what this means and what that means. That's a great documentary. I'd advise people to try and find that, yeah.
Here's another message here. Hereditary and Midsommar gets my vote too. I sat with my mouth open for both, disturbed to my core, and it has stayed with me. I think that it is the key to a decent horror movie. What often troubles me with, you know, there's movies like Hostel, and there's movies that have almost a snuff element to it, Paul, and one thinks, look, this is in the imagination of the writer, in the filmmaker, but then I sometimes think to myself, the real horror that has taken place is something that has probably happened before. And sometimes when you realize that, like, we have torture and abuse and violence that's been part of human history since humanity has been around, you often think about that as much as we are using horror to escape, that real life horror happens every single day.
Yeah, definitely. That's why we'd rather watch a horror movie that is not real, and you know when you're done, it's finished and over, and you can laugh and move on. So when it's sometimes with movies like Hostel, but then, you know, the filmmakers also often say they've got subtext Iraq War and, you know, it's or Vietnam War. They used to work into movies that they made in the 70s. You know, not without physically putting in there, but the sort of the subtext on, you know, like America going in and exerting its power in different places. But, you know, a filmmaker is free to do what they want, and it's up to the audience to reject it or accept it. And if it leaves a bad taste in the mouth, that's definitely going to do that. And people will. Word of mouth is also quite a powerful thing. So if you're going to tell people this movie is terrible, then it's going to have repercussions. But movies like Hostel and Saw, it was that wave of these extreme movies. But the filmmakers also, like Eli Roth, the director of Hostel, said he doesn't make movies for children. This is movies for adults. And, you know, people should take it as that. And it has extreme elements in it. And those extreme things have an extreme reaction on the audience, and that's what the filmmaker wants, and I guess that's what he gets.
South Africa isn't being left behind. South Africa is also doing a lot when it comes to the horror movie circuit. And I think there's something that has just been released recently. It's called Pinky Pinky, and it's about this urban myth of the little Tokolos character called Pinky Pinky.
Yeah, we actually, many years back, we actually had a short film version of that screening at the Horror Fest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've also had, I think is it number 8? It's on Netflix. Couple of local sort of horror chapters. Yeah, it's difficult for, you know, it's costly making any movie, mm-hmm. and especially in South Africa. And if you want it to be competitive abroad, friends of ours, they met. Leon Fisser, he's edited some stuff of ours. He edited a movie called Gaia. It hasn't released here yet. It's been released overseas, and it's got some good feedback. So, you know, eventually it's a case of movies get made here, but it takes us longer to get to some. We were hoping to screen at the Horror Fest this year, but it'll probably only happen next year.
For people who want to come through, it starts tonight already. Details on the latest installment of the SA Horror Fest?
Yeah, they can find everything they need at horrorfest.info. And on Facebook, we're at South African Horror Fest. At Instagram, you can find us at SA Horror Fest, and at Twitter as well, SA Horror Fest. And then the, excuse me, all the cinema screenings will be at the Labia Theatre in Cape Town. And people can stream on labiahomescreen.co.za. And the movies, they won't all be there at once. It will be sort of released in chapters, sections, in chunks, so that you're not overloaded by this barrage of 50 movies and 10 hours of short films. They can spread them out across the 2 weeks.
or a horror movie when Manchester United plays Tottenham at the weekend again, available on SuperSport. But Paul Blom, organizer of the SA Horror Fest, thank you so much for joining us.